Le cœur brisé. Reed.
We're here,
Coco said softly.
A quarter hour ago, she'd forced us to stop, to bear Nicolina to the ground and tip a sleeping tincture down her throat. It hadn't been pretty. It hadn't been fun. I still had bite marks on my hand to prove it. We stood beneath the shadow of a lone cypress tree. At least, I thought it was a cypress. Below the smoke and clouds, true darkness had fallen once more. The forest at our backs stood eerily still. Even the wind had ceased here, yet a hint of brine still tinged the air. No waves, however. I heard no waves. No gulls, either. No signs of life at all. Shifting my feet uneasily, I took in the path ahead. Narrow and rocky, it disappeared into fog so thick I could have cut it with a knife. A chill skittered down my spine at what could be lurking within it. Despite no signs of Morgane or Josephine, the hair at my neck lifted. What now? Coco came to stand beside me.
We keep going. Straight down.
Into that? Bo, too, stepped forward, halting at my other side. He eyed the fog skeptically. Can we not?
Le Melancolique lies past it.
Yes, but surely we can find less overtly ominous access.
The Cobrisé is everywhere. One doesn't access the wistful waters without him.
Silly swallowed hard.
But we only have 3 pearls. Madame Sauvage said humans aren't allowed near the waters. She said they could drive us mad.
The waters can drive anyone mad, human or witch.
Coco straightened her shoulders, still staring into the mist.
But you're right. We just have 3, so we'll walk the path as far as Le Coeur allows. But only Reed, Nicolina, and I will continue to shore. Her eyes flashed to mine. If we can pass his test.
What test?
I asked, with mounting unease. No one said anything about a test. She waved a curt hand. You'll pass. Glancing at Nicolina, however, she added,
I'm not so sure about her. But he only tested us the once. Maybe he won't this time either.
Bo pounced on this new information, whirling to point a finger at Coco, triumphant, furious.
I knew you were hiding something.
Lou and I played at Le Melancolique as children, Coco snapped. It's hardly a secret. Of course we ran into Le Coeur a time or two. He liked us, so he didn't ask for pearls. We brought him tricks instead.
Sidney blinked in confusion.
But you said we needed black pearls.
Huffing impatiently, Coco crossed her arms and looked away.
We do. We did. Just not all the time. Lou once magicked them into spiders when he touched them. He's terrified of spiders.
A beat of silence.
And he liked you?
Bo asked, perplexed.
He liked me better than Lou.
Enough.
I hoisted Nicolina higher in my arms, starting toward the path. Tendrils of fog stretched out to meet me,
curling around my boots, my ankles.
I kicked them away.
We were so close. Too close.
We didn't come all this way to leave now.
But leave you shall.
An abrupt, unfamiliar voice thundered around me, through me, and I stumbled, nearly sending Nicolina face first into the mist. By the others' reactions, Celie actually screamed, they heard it too. The mist at my feet visibly thickened, swirling up my legs now. I felt its pressure like a vice. Panicked, I leaped backward, and the mist released me. It didn't stop thickening, however. It didn't stop speaking.
If you cannot drink of the waters and spill their truth.
I nearly stepped on Celie in my haste to retreat.
What is it?
She clutched my arm, clutched Nicolina's arm, clutched anything to ground herself in reality. But this was our reality. Possessions, harbinger, dogs, shape-shifting dragons, talking mist. It would never end.
Is it Le Coeur?
In answer, the mist slowly darkened, drawing in on itself, as a spider might spin its web, growing limbs.
a head, a pair of chilling, coal-black eyes. Despite the ominous voice, those eyes softened on Coco as their owner stepped forth. Powerfully built, taller even than me, the man heaved a booming laugh and opened his arms to her. She hesitated for only a second before rushing forward. Voice hitching with laughter, perhaps tears, she buried her face in his chest and she said,
"I missed you, Constantine."
Bo stared at them, dumbstruck, as they embraced. I might have found his expression comical if I too hadn't felt this revelation like a blow to the head.
Constantine.
Constantine. I knew the name, of course. How could I ever forget? Madame Lebel had held me captive with it in the Bellrose all those months ago, weaving magic with her tale of star-crossed lovers, of magic rings and seas of tears and witches and holy men, of Angelica and Constantine, the saint who'd gifted the church his blessed sword, the original Balisarda. I'd carried a part of him with me for years, unaware his sword hadn't been blessed at all, but enchanted by his lover. She'd wanted to protect him. He'd wanted her magic. When he hadn't been able to take it from her, he'd eventually taken his life instead. This couldn't be the same man. Of course it couldn't. The story said he'd died, and even if he hadn't, he would be thousands of years old now, long dead. And Coco, she hadn't spoken a word about knowing Constantine during Madame Lebel's tale. She would have told us, surely. Lou's life had been tangentially tied with him and Angelica, whose ill-fated love had first sparked the war between the church and the Dame Blanche. She would have told us. She would have. Constantine, Bo said the name slowly, tasting it, remembering it. I know that name. Aren't you supposed to be dead? Coco stiffened at his brash words, but Constantine merely chuckled. Ruffling her hair, he gently disentangled himself from her arms.
My reputation precedes me.
You're Le Cambrisé, I asked, in disbelief. The broken heart?
His dark eyes glinted.
The irony is not lost on me, I assure you.
But you aren't
the Constantine. You're not him. When he simply stared at me, I exhaled a harsh breath and looked at Coco, unable to articulate the sudden, painful flare of emotion in my chest. She hadn't told us. She'd withheld information. She hadn't lied, not exactly, but she hadn't told the truth either. It felt like a betrayal.
Right.
Shaking my head, I tried to refocus.
How? Who cares?
Bo muttered, near indiscernible. Constantine extended his arms.
I am cursed eternal, huntsman, because I yearn for more.
Coco cast him a slanted look.
I think you went a bit further than that.
You're right, of course, Cosette. I broke a woman's heart in the process. My one true regret in life.
Rolling her eyes, Coco said,
Constantine leapt from these cliffs. When Angelica wept her sea of tears, the waters revived him.
She gestured to the mist around us, the very mist from which he'd formed.
Their magic gives him life. Now he serves as a warning.
We all stared at her.
What does that mean?
Bo finally asked.
It means Isla poked her nose in like a prying busybody,
Constantine said, surprisingly pleasant given the circumstances. He swept a hand down his arm, his bare chest. He wore nothing save the cloth around his waist, his lower half obscured by mist. Condensation collected on his skin, curled in his hair.
She wants everything between Angelica and me. And when the waters intervened, she swept in and cursed me to guard the women of these waters and their magic forever.
Celie's gaze darted.
The women of these waters?
The Melusines.
Constantine's face contorted with distaste.
Fish women. Fickle women.
Temptresses,
Coco added.
The ones who dwell here are also truth-tellers. Some are seers. The waters have given them strange abilities.
My arms began to burn, and I readjusted my grip on Nicolina.
Who is Isla?
Constantine snorted in response.
The queen of the Melusines?
Claude's sister, Coco said at the same time.
Is she a goddess, then?
Celia asked.
Constantine bowed slightly, inclining his head.
Some would call her such. Others would not. Either way, she's very old and powerful. If you seek an audience, however, I must warn you. She cannot interfere in the affairs of humans. Not without repercussion.
Coco touched his arm.
We aren't here for her, Constantine.
Not yet, at least.
She looked to Nicolina, to Lou in my arms, and her entire body seemed to wilt once more.
Constantine followed her gaze, his sharp eyes tracking over Lou's sallow skin, her gaunt cheeks. He hummed a low note of understanding.
Louise is ill.
And possessed, I added, a touch desperately. His eyebrows shot up.
You believe the waters will heal her. They healed you,
Beau pointed out,
and you were dead.
Constantine parted the mist with his hands, the tendrils curling between his fingers. It struck me as an idle gesture, an apathetic one.
It's true. If anything can heal her, these waters can. Though they started as mere tears, they've become as sentient as the pulse within a Dame Rouge, as connected as a Dame Blanche to this land. Angelica was a seer, and her magic shaped them. The waters see things we cannot see, know things we cannot know. I am part of them now, yet even I do not grasp the future as they. I have lived 100 human lives, yet even I cannot comprehend their knowledge.
I struggled to extract the pearls from my pack while maintaining my hold on Nicolina. Beau extended his arms instead. Reluctantly, I handed her over before thrusting the pearls at Constantine. To my surprise, his hands felt solid, warm. He truly was alive.
Our payment, I said. His fingers curled around the pearls. His eyes flicked to Coco.
Are you sure?
She nodded resolutely. She's my best friend.
He shrugged then, and the pearls dissolved into mist.
Very well. On her head be it.
To the rest of us, he asked,
who accompanies the fair maidens?
I stepped forward. Me.
Of course.
His gaze swept from my head to my toes. He humphed, as if displeased. As if the mud on my boots, perhaps the bandolier on my chest, offended him.
I've heard of your exploits, Reed Diggory. I've heard of your glory in my legacy. I've heard all about the death and blood on yours and your brethren's hands.
He paused for me to respond, but I didn't give him the satisfaction. I didn't give him any reaction at all.
To be honest, you remind me of a much younger version of myself.
I am nothing like you.
He tilted his head.
Time changes us all, does it not?
La-di-da, mysterious bullshit, ominous warnings.
Beau repositioned Nicolina with stiff, awkward movements, exhaling an aggrieved breath.
Should we keep standing around, or...
Point taken.
Constantine grinned, and with a wave of his hand, Beau and Silly vanished, both just vanished. Nicolina's weight landed solidly back in my arms.
Where did you send them?
Coco asked, voice rising in panic. I mean, are they safe?
Constantine's eyes glittered knowingly.
No one is safe here, Cosette. Not even you. I protected you and your friend as children. This time, however, you seek the waters as an adult of your own volition. I can no longer bend the rules. You too must drink and speak truth. Now.
He stepped aside, gesturing to the path before us, the path still concealed by semi-solid mist.
Shall we?
She swallowed, visibly. When I strode forward, however, she slipped her arm through mine, hurrying to keep up.
"Have you never drunk before?" I asked her quietly.
Though I couldn't hear Constantine following, I sensed his presence behind us as we trekked down the path. It sloped gently, evenly, despite the rocks. Silence still coated everything.
"In all the times you visited?"
"Just once," she whispered back. "When I tried to see my..." But she stopped abruptly, squeezing my arm tight.
"When Lou and I tried to swim in the waters, Constantine never made us drink of them otherwise. We usually just played along the shore."
"And that one time?"
I asked. She shuddered.
"It was awful."
"What did you see?"
"What I wanted most in the world."
"Which was?"
She scoffed, but didn't withdraw her arm.
"Like I'd tell you. I already spoke it once. I'm not speaking it again."
"You aren't serious."
An ache started to build in my right temple.
"How can I know what to expect if you won't?"
"You can't," Constantine interrupted, materializing directly in front of us. We both skidded to a halt.
"None know what the water will show them. Desires, fears, strengths, weaknesses, memories. It sees truth and demands truth in turn. All you must do is acknowledge it."
At his words, the mist behind him began to clear. It moved slowly, deliberately, each tendril creeping apart to reveal a vast, impossibly smooth body of water. It stretched between two mountains, extended as far as the eye could see, to the horizon beyond. The moon, silver as a freshly minted coin, shone clear and bright across its glassy surface. No smoke here. No waves, either. Not a single sound. Constantine flicked his wrist, and from the fog, three chalices formed, solidifying into simple iron. They waited in the sand at the edge of the water, almost touching it, not quite. Gently, I lowered Nicolina to the ground. She didn't stir when I lifted her eyelid, checked her pulse.
"What did you do to her? She's barely conscious."
"It's a simple sleeping solution. Lavender, chamomile, valerian root, and blood."
Coco shrugged nervously.
"It's possible that
I overdid it."
"She will drink,"
Constantine said, his form beginning to fade.
"Or she will die."
I couldn't suppress a snarl of frustration.
"You're a real son of a bitch, you know that?"
When he lifted his hands, they dissolved into mist. Another arrogant smile.
"I am a simple guardian. Drink of the waters and spill their truth. If you succeed, you may enter their healing depths. If you fail, you will leave this place, and you will never return."
"I'm not going anywhere."
But even as the words left my mouth, I felt the mist constrict around me like iron manacles, knew staying upon failure wouldn't be an option. The mist, or liqueur, or the waters, or the magic itself, wouldn't allow it. Only when I muttered a terse agreement did the manacles dissipate. I still felt their presence, however, hovering over my skin, their warning.
"Drink of the waters,"
Constantine repeated, near immaterial now.
"And spill their truth."
Only his eyes remained. When they found Coco, they softened, and a tendril of fog reached out to caress her face.
"Good luck."
He left us standing alone in the moonlight, staring down at our chalices.